today's daf is Samech Aleph in Chulin. Okay, we're a little more to go on Samech Amid Beis just to finish up the Agarata from yesterday. And then we're going to do what looks to be a pretty short daf today. But it's so timely in terms of Parsha Shavua. It's really great. Okay, we'll come to that in just a moment. We're on Samech Amid Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We are starting with Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. It's about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. We can just start here. Amar Shimon ben Lakish, Harbe Mekro Shavuim L'Sarif Ehein Hein Gufei Tara. There are some psukim that look like we could just burn them. Okay, not the best way to describe psukim in the Torah, but it's strong terminology just to make the very simple point that there is nothing extra in the Torah, there's nothing superfluous in the Torah, everything is essential in the Torah. Even those psukim that seem to you and to me to be totally just, why do we have to know that? But everything's got a point and everything has a purpose, and Rav Shimon Lakish says there are a lot of them out there, and he gives some examples. Okay, Parshas Devarim. The Torah tells us in Parshas Devarim, V'ha'ivim ha'yoshim b'chatzerim ad Aza. And there's a group of people called Evim, and they live in Chatzerim, right up to Aza. Okay? So, my nafkalamina, okay, that's nice. What do we care? So, the Gemara goes on to explain. Because remember, we have a treaty, we created a peace treaty, Avram and Avimelech. And the peace treaty was Im Tishkor Li, Ulanini, Ulanechdi. Three generations of peace treaty between Avram and Avimelech. So Avimelech, of course, was the king of the Plishtim. So that meant that we had a pact together with the Plishtim. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this obviously is going to be somewhat of a political mess because we're going to go back into Eretz Yisrael and we want to conquer the land. Some of the land is owned by the Plishtim. We have a pact that we're not going to attack the Plishtim. Okay, so that creates a problem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is cognizant, obviously. And so what he does is the following. Leisu kaftarim, lefku me'ivim, dahinu plishtim. So just a couple things that you need to know. Evim and plishtim are one and the same people. So if the evim and the plishtim are the same people, so we have a group of people called the evim, which is where we ended the daf yesterday, talking about these group of people, scary group of people, as we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf. And the Evim are the Plishtim, so the Kaftarim are going to conquer. Kaftarim is the name of another nation. I don't know anything about them.
Cypriot.
Down in Cyprus. Okay, good. So the Cyprus. It's in there. So the Kaftarim attack the Plishtim, not attack the Plishtim, defeat the Plishtim. So good. So now this land is no longer occupied by the Plishtim. Good. Peace treaty wasn't against a piece of property. Peace treaty was against a particular company, a particular country, or group of people, I should say. So we're fine now. So the Velesi Yisrael, Lefko Mekhafter, and now when we go into Eretz Yisrael and we conquer, we're not conquering the Plishtim because the Plishtim were already conquered. We're conquering the Kaftarim. Good. Kayotse Badavrata Omer, the Gemara says, I'll give you another example. Parshas Chukas. The Torah says, Ki Cheshbon Ir Sichon Melech HaAmorihi. So Cheshbon is the city of Sichon, king of the Amorites. Vehu Nilcham BaMelech Moav. And you should know, says the Torah, continues the Torah, that the Amorites waged war against Melech Moav, the king of Moav. Again, all this seems to be world history. Meaning, and the Torah is interested in just being a historical work. So the Gemara says, no. Anafka mina, da'am elu kadosh baruch l'Yisrael, al teit saras moav. So the Gemara explains like this, because we know that we have a prohibition. We're not allowed to attack Moav. Okay? We have a history with Moav. History goes way back with Moav, starting with the fact that Moav is generated by Lot. The nation of Moav is generated by Lot. Right, Lot's one of Lot's sons, right, daughter, son's grandson. Okay, it's a confusing relationship, but nevertheless, the Moav comes from Lot. Right, Lot is the nephew of Abraham. Good. So we historically go way back, and part of even though right, it's an ambiguous relationship. It's a delicate relationship we have with Moav. On the one hand, even when they convert, they're not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. Okay. And on the other hand, right, Al Tetzarbam, we're not allowed to oppress them, we're not allowed to attack them. Okay. So there's this land right east of the Jordan River, which was originally occupied by Moab, and then taken by Sichon Melech Amori. So that's good. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Leisi Sichon Leifik Me'Moav. So along will come Sichon. Sichon will take it from Moab. V'Leisi Yisrael V'Leifik Me'Sichon. Now we go in, and it's not Moab anymore. It's Sichon Melech Amori. It's the Amorites. So now we go in, and we attack the Amorites, and we're good. V'Hainu Damar Rav Papa. And now you'll understand the statement of Rav Papa, which is, Amon U'Moav Tiharu B'Sichon. The nations of Ammon and Moab were purified with Sichon. What does that mean? Now we know. We understand what that means. Meaning that if it were just Ammon and Moab, we couldn't have touched them. The Torah prohibits it. But now that Sichon goes ahead and attacks and defeats Moab, so now it's no longer Moab. It's now Sichon. Good. Sidonim Yikru'u Lechermon. Sirion. So, Sidonim would call the Hermon Siryon. Okay, again, Torah is basically now trying to understand. The Gemara is trying to understand. Well, what difference does it make to us? Like, well, who cares? So the Tano, so the Gemara quotes in the Brisa, Sneer v'Siryon mehar Eretz Yisrael. The Sneer and Siryon are names of mountains in Eretz Yisrael. Right, the most famous mountain in Eretz Yisrael happens to be the Hermon, right, because of the skiing. Yeah. Right, but in other words, there are, Israel is, of course, a very mountainous region, and there are names of mountains in Eretz Yisrael. Malamit Shekol Echav Echem Umos Ha'olam Halach Vana Lekrach Gadol Atzmo. All the nations of the world built for themselves big cities. Ve'helolo Al Shem Harei Eretz Yisrael. And they all named their cities after mountains in Israel. Okay? Why? L'lamdecha Sha'afilo Harei Eretz Yisrael Chavivan Al Umos Ha'olam. Right? Israel gets a lot of attention. No, nothing changes in the past 3,000 years. Right? Israel gets a tremendous amount of attention, and people love Eretz Yisrael. And the nations that they build, the cities that they build for themselves, well outside of Eretz Yisrael, but they name them after mountains in Eretz Yisrael to show how much Eretz Yisrael is beloved, even amongst the Umos HaOlam. Kayose Bo, Gemara gives one more example. The Esa'am HaEvira Sola Arim. So, Yosef. At the end of Sefer Bereishis, right? So Yosef does one thing as a viceroy of Egypt, and that is he starts transplanting people in Mitzrayim, right? You say, in other words, you go over there, and so he just relocates everybody, right? Ve'esa'am hevira sola arim. He moves people out to the cities. My nafkamina. So again, this is now the political life of Yosef. Okay, I'm sure there were other things that were involved in his political life. Like, why is the Torah telling us that? So the Gemara says, "The lowly kru lechav gavasa." Because what's going to happen is that the brothers are going to come down to Egypt, and the brothers are going to live in Egypt. Now, it's one thing that everyone is nice and settled, then you come in. So what are you? You're a foreigner, right? And it's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant thing to be a foreigner in a foreign country. However, if everyone else is also foreigners, so good. So now it's a nation of foreigners. So it's true, the brothers coming into Egypt were foreigners, but because Yosef transplanted everybody, so everybody else is also foreigners as well. So as uncomfortable as we are, that's as much as uncomfortable as everyone else is in Mitzrayim as well. So Yosef did it so basically to make us feel less uncomfortable. Okay. Psukim in the Torah, examples of Psukim in the Torah where, quite honestly, it doesn't seem to be saying anything. But look a second time, look a third time, and it's saying a lot. Okay, that is the end of yesterday's daf. We start now with today's daf. Today's daf is Samach Aleph, and it's a pretty short daf, and it's funny. Our daf is really going to make one point, right? An entire daf to make one point. Tosfos has a lot to say, which on a day like today really helps us in terms of getting back up to speed, but it goes like this. Okay, a little bit of an introduction to today's daf. Okay, you look at this week's parsha. Okay, Perek Yudalid, Psukim Yud Aleph through Chaf Aleph. Okay, short. But in those 10 psukim, so 11 psukim, so the Torah tells us that there are birds that we're not allowed to eat. Kol Sipor Tahara Tochelu. So the first thing it mentions in Pasuk Yud Aleph is kosher birds, enjoy. Then v'zeasher lo sochlu mehem, and here are birds that you're not allowed to eat. So hanesher v'haperes v'aznia. Now, everyone know how many of them we're going to mention in the Torah? So the answer is going to be 24. 24 birds that are mentioned in the Torah. Now, the way Rashi understands it, there are categories, meaning that they are, right, like much like you learned in your ninth grade biology, right, we categorize the animal kingdom. So here, when we say 24 birds, we mean 24 categories of birds. Rashi, I'll show you the Rashi later this morning. Rashi says that there are many subspecies of the nesher, okay? We'll talk later on this morning about what the nesher actually is. Everyone says eagle, probably not. Probably not the eagle. Okay, kol tzipor tarat tochelu. So the birds that you're not allowed to eat are nesher, peres, va'aznia. So that's three. And then, I'll just read it quickly. Harav esayav adayav lemina. The eighth called orev lemino. Orev, that's a popular one. We all know what that one is. That's a raven. The eighth bas hayana v'esa tachmas v'esa shachav v'esa neif l'minehu esa kos v'esa yanshuf v'hatin shames v'haka'az v'esa rachama v'esa shalach v'hachasida. That's a funny name for a non-kosher bird. The chasida.
Yeah.
Stork. Right? Chasida v'anafa l'mina v'haduchi fas v'ha'ata leif. Right? The art school translation does a very, very good job not trying to get involved in any controversy. So as far as translations go, they give no translations. You look inside, it's unbelievable. No, zero translation. He just transliterates every one of these. Okay. We struggle. That's the honest truth. We simply struggle to try to identify what these birds are in today's bird kingdom. Ataleif is usually translated as a bat, but a bat's not really a bird. Okay, we all know. Okay, anyway, v'chol sheretz ha'ov tamehu lachem lo yochelu kol ov tawar tochelu. Okay, lo zochlu kol nevela lager sheva sherechet tenen v'achla o mechol anachri ki am kadosh ata l'ashem lokecha, and of course lo sevasha gediba chalev imo. Okay, no meat in that. Okay, and that is the end of the parsha of eating kosher. Okay, so it comes out now that the Torah gives us a description of 24 different birds that you're not allowed to eat. Okay, let's now start with the today's daf. Simani of lo nemer v'lo. So the Mishnah told us that the simani, the signs of the bird is not mentioned. Not mentioned in the Torah. V'lo v'hatanya, the Gemara says, but wait a second, we have a brisa. And the brisa goes like this. Nesher, right? One of the non-kosher birds is a nesher. Ma nesher miyuchad. Now, here's what is characteristic of the nesher. Number one, ein lo etzbi. They're going to be four things. Number one, ein lo etzbi yasera does not have the etzbi yasera. Now, yeah, I didn't bring the good book in with me today, but I do remember. Etzbi yasera, according to Rashi, right, there is a little toe. It's like an opposing toe on the other side, right, higher up from the rest of the foot. That is the etzbi yasera mentioned over here, or other Rishonim, the Ra, notably, says that the etzbi yasera means that one of the fingers is longer than the other fingers. Right? You look at the foot of a chicken, you're going to see that one of the fingers actually goes below the other fingers. Fingers, I mean toes, I mean whatever they're called. Whatever they're called in a bird. Okay, ein lo etzbi yasera. The nesher does not have an etzbi yasera. That's one. Two, zefek. Doesn't have a crop. Right? Crop is that little pouch right at the right after the food goes down the esophagus. So on a kosher bird, so it's what it's going to meet at that point in time is this little pouch. It's called a zefek. In English, it's called a crop. And that's where basically where the chewing is done, right? The bird ingests some stones and the pebbles go into the crop. And then what happens is it's a muscular pouch. And basically now the just kind of grinds up the food. So now the food is able to go further down. The nesher, huh? So,
exclusive.
Well, you'll see. Just right. Just give me a moment. So, the nesher does not have a zefek. Okay. The ein kor kavo niklaf. Also, when you get to the gizzard, gizzard's a stomach. Okay. Further down now, the esophagus after the crop. Now, remember, in this nesher doesn't have it. So, you're going to get to now the gizzard. Gizzard is the actual stomach. In a kosher bird, or let's say it like this: in a nesher. It doesn't peel. meaning that usually what you're going to have is layers of membranes where I could peel a layer off and I'm still going to have another layer underneath it. In the nesher, it does not peel. So meaning it's just one lining of the gizzard and that's it. V'doris v'ochel. And number four, it's doris v'ochel. Rashi says that doris means that it picks it up with its tziparnaim, with its claw, and it eats it while holding it in its claw. That's Rashi's understanding. I mentioned just a day ago, Tosos right here on this daf, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, argues with his grandfather. I know we've heard this story before, but Rabbeinu Tam says, Doris v'ochel mechayim ve'eno mamtim lo ad shetamos. That Doris v'ochel means that it eats its prey while the prey is still alive. Okay? And Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't understand my grandfather because according to Rashi, right, it holds it in its claw and eats it. A chicken does that. Right? So right? Okay. So and I'm sure there's a defense for Rashi. Okay. These are the four characteristics that are not displayed by the Nesher. Good? Now, just a brief moment to discuss what is the Nesher. We typically say the Nesher is an eagle. It's hard to justify the Nesher being the eagle. If you look at the eagle, and you know, I'm not giving a class in biology, but in the context of Torah, if you look at the eagle does not seem to demonstrate all these characteristics that the Gemara just described. Etzba Yesera, Zefek, right, Kor Kavan Niklaf. If you look, you're going to find it in two places. I found two places that discusses this, but really one's quoting the other. Rabbi Kornfeld's website, where he talks about it, and Rabbi Slifkin. Rabbi Slifkin also has a long discussion about this, and what fits in much better with the Nesher is a vulture. Now, the truth of the matter is that this has already been discussed earlier than that, meaning the Rishonim already discussed that it's probably not the eagle. It's interesting.
Based on the toes, is
so like a falcon?
Huh?
Vultures?
Right, correct. So, right, when Rabbi Slifkin came here to speak a little while ago, he says that the hardest thing for people to accept about the fact that it's vulture and not eagle is that we're going to come back into Eretz Yisrael, Kanfei Nesharim. So, if we're going to go in the back of an eagle, that for some reason people are like, you know, comfortable with that. But the idea that we're going to go in the back of a vulture wasn't regarded as a regal bird. I'll tell you something interesting. The Nesher, right? The Torah refers to it as Nesher, right? Shin and Sin are always very interchangeable, so it could be Nesser or Nasser, right? The word Nasser may in fact be a derivative of this as well. Okay, the which is very popular in the Arabic world to have a name Nasser. So probably the vulture. Huh? That's with a samech, or right? Samech and shin are very interchangeable.
So we're saying that all referred to not kosher means all four.
Ah, okay. So what are we saying? So the Gemara says,
what does it mean
to not
have here?
I'll send you to those sites. They discuss it in great detail. I read it up last night. Anyway, but No, he doesn't discuss it over there. Okay, the ochel tameh afkol kol yotzeh bo tameh. All right, now. We have four characteristics. Of the four characteristics, the Nesher has none of them. None of the Simanei Tahara. So now, Torin Sheish Lahem Etzba Yisera V'Zev V'Kur Kavan Nikla V'Indor Asim V'Ochlin Torin. Now, on the opposite end, you have the Tor. The Tor is a kosher bird. Now, we know it's a kosher bird, primarily because it goes up onto the Mizbeach. We know there's no such thing as a non-kosher animal going up on the Mizbeach. Anything going up on the Mizbeach, by definition, is kosher. We have a pasuk not in Chumash, but Mimashka Yisrael. We simply know that if it's on the mizbech, if it's going on the mizbech, it's certainly kosher. Now the Tor is the opposite. Tor has all four simani tahara. So avkol kayot ben taharin. So everything which is similar to it is tahara. Okay, period. Now before we discuss this in of itself, the Gemara is just simply bothered by a simple question, which is that our Mishnah makes a very bold statement, which is none of the simanim are mentioned in the Torah. So the Gemara says, but the Braisa seems to link the Simanim to the Torah. The Gemara gives the obvious answer. Amar Abaye, lo nemar perushim midivrei Torah, lo midivrei Sofrim. Look, All the Torah did for us is give us the animal, the bird. The Torah doesn't give us a semanim. It's divrei sofrim. It's the chachamim who give it a semanim. Good. And they obviously are going to attach it to the pasuk, but it's not actually sourced in the Torah. Okay. Now, Stuart raised an issue, which is what we're going to be discussing now for the rest of today, and it really is the entire point of today. We have our extremes. We have the Nesher and we have the Tor. The Nesher, the vulture, has none of the Simani Tahara, and there are four to speak about. The Nesher has none of them. The Tor has all four of them. Okay, good. But there's a big middle, meaning that there are birds out there that are only going to have three Simani Tahara, two Simani Tahara, one Siman Tahor. So what about all those birds in the middle? What's the status of all the birds in the middle? Tani Rabbi Chiya, Ofa ba b'siman echad tahor, lefi she'ein doma l'nesher. So the Gemara quotes as a brisa of Rabbi Chiya, that if you have a bird that only has one siman tahor, it's tahor. It's a kosher bird. Meaning, the baseline is your nesher, your vulture. That's the baseline. That creates now what you can't eat. Anything that is deviates from the nesher, even by one siman, is going to be a kosher bird. So nesher d'leiflu klal hu d'lo techa. And what the Torah is basically saying to us is as follows: you can't eat the nesher because the nesher's got, because again, nesher has no siman tahor. Ha ika the is lecha techel. But if it has one, so then you're allowed to eat it. Okay. So the Gemara now is going to ask the obvious question. How did you know that? Meaning, we have our two extremes. We have the Nesher on one extreme and we have the Torah on the other extreme. Instead of creating the Nesher as the baseline, why don't we go to the other side and use the Torah as the baseline? So, v'leilef mitorin. Ma'atorin di'ika kulu arba'a. Av hachanami ad di'ika kulu arba'a. Maybe it needs all four Simani Tahara in order for it to be Tahor, because it needs to replicate the Tor. So the Gemara says, Im kein shar ofas tamein dekas rachman alamale. Gemara says, okay, if you were right, so then we could have just simply left out those 10 psukim that I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf. Meaning, okay, so if the Tor is your baseline, and in order for a bird to be kosher, it needs to exhibit all four simanim, so then we could skip all these birds mentioned in the Torah. Okay, now let me give you one more word of introduction over here in order to understand what's about to happen. I mentioned already, I read through these psukim, there are 24 birds mentioned in the Torah. Okay, starting with the Nesher and going down all the way to the Ha'atalef. Okay, 24 birds mentioned in the Torah. Now, of those 24, here's what we know as a tradition. The Nesher has none of the Simani Tahara. Okay. Peres v'aznia has one Siman Tahor. Raven has two. And the other 20, right, for those of you keeping score, and the other 20 have three Simani Tahara. Okay. Let me say that again. It's a lot of information. Okay. The Nesher has no Simani Tahara. The next two, Peres v'Aznia, have one Siman Tahor. Okay, now, as a tradition, we know. Here's a couple of things that we don't know. We don't know which one they have. Okay, but as a tradition, we know that it's not a shared Siman Tahor. Okay, what one has, the other one doesn't have. Okay, the Raven, the Orev, have two Simani Tahara, and the next 20, the last 20 birds, have three Simani Tahara. Okay. So now the Gemara is constructing the following argument. Look, if the Tor is what is your baseline, and the Tor is the, what's in English?
Pigeon.
Turtle dove.
Turtle
dove. If the Tor is a kosher bird, and we know that it exhibits all four Simani, And if we were to assume then that anything short of that, three Simani Tahara, two Simani Tahara, or one, certainly one Simani Tahara, if it has anything less than that, it would be not kosher, so then the Torah wouldn't have to mention everything over here. Because everything over here has either no Simani Tahara, one Simani Tahara, two or three, but not four.
Why is Rabbi Chiya going?
Oh, So imkein shar ofis tamein dekas rachon alamali. Okay. V'neilaf minayhu. So the Gemara says, okay, so acknowledged, there are 24 mentioned in the Torah. So why don't we learn from those 24? Meaning, mahasam talasav alo achlinan, avkol talasav alo nechal. So the Gemara says, well, why doesn't that create a binyanav? Meaning, if of the 24 birds, 20 of them only have three simani tahara, and the Torah says to us, well, don't eat it, so then why don't we say, okay, binyanav, that creates a precedent. And the precedent would be, anytime a bird only has three of the four simani tahara, it's no good. V'kol shekein trei, v'chad. So, and if three simani tahara is not enough to eat it, two is certainly not going to be enough. One is certainly not going to be enough. So, im kein, the Gemara says, if that were the argument, arv dekarsach rachman alamali. So the Gemara says, but then, if you're right, if the Torah is interested in giving us binyanav, we would have no need for the raven. Because the raven, remember, has only two simani tahara. So if the Torah was trying to create a binyanav, it would have written only 20 birds which have three simani tahara. And the Torah was saying, don't eat it. And then we would have said, oh, I get it. They have three. Three is not good enough. If three is not good enough, two is certainly not good enough. So why did the Torah mention raven? Hashtag the islay tlas alo achlin, the islay tre mi baye, veleleif mi al rave. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you. So why doesn't the raven become the binyanav? Why doesn't that set the precedent? But I think we're all going to know the answer coming up in the Gemara. Mahasam tre lo, av kol tre lo, im kain, peres ve'azni adakas rechman alamali. So the Gemara says, okay, but if the raven were the binyanav, so then I would need peres ve'azni. Peres ve'azni only have one siman tahara. Okay, if two is not going to be good enough, if two doesn't make it to be a kosher bird, one is certainly not going to be good enough. So hasha deislei trei lochlin and deislei chad mi baye. Okay, v'nigmar mi peres ve'aznia. So the Gemara says, well, why doesn't peres ve'aznia become the binyanav? And again, we should all forecast the next answer of the Gemara in Cain. Nesher de kasa rechman alamali. So then, good. So then, why would the Torah then have to say nesher? Nesher has zero. So hashu de islei chad lo achlin and de leislei klal mi baye. Ela nesher de leislei klal hu de lo techal. Ha de islei chad echol. So the only conclusion to arrive at is because the Torah gives us 20 which have three, one which has two, two which has one. I hope you're following. Right, two which has one, and one that has zero, it must be that we have to go all the way back to the Nesher, and the Nesher creates the baseline, and the baseline now is zero. That's your baseline. If it has no simani tahara like the Nesher, you're not allowed to eat it. That's the binyanav. Anything above that, you're allowed to eat. What about the other 23 birds? They're exceptions to the rule. They become now exceptions to the rule. Okay? So now the way to organize this information in your head, Nesher is your baseline. That means that if it has none of the Simani Tahara, right, it's out. It's any bird like that. Now it's interesting, Rashi, on the previous Amud, writes like this. It's the first Rashi on the page. Rashi says, and you know what we're going to say about those birds? Meaning, any bird that has no Simani Tahara, it's a Nesher. Right, Rashi says it falls under the category of Nesher. Look at the top Rashi on the page.
The only bird that's got none.
Correct. And any bird which has none is a Nesher. Categorically is a Nesher. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes this on the very top. Rashi it's the first Rashi on Samech Aleph Lamed Aleph. I know we already turned the page.
Both Walter and Nesher
I'm not saying anything conclusively. I don't know enough to say anything conclusively. I'm just telling you that the arguments that are being made is that Nesher is probably a vulture. But
I say vulture and eagle are in the same category in the Rashi's.
No. Eagles are general translation of the word Nesher, but it probably is not correct.
Not having any sense. Both right. Vulture and no. Eagle.
Right. Well, again, let me just give me a moment. All right. Let's show you the Rashi. Right, and Nesher is one of your non-kosher birds. V'danim binyanav heimenu, and we create a binyanav from it. Now that we finished the Gemara's sentence, so now we understand, right, how we got to that conclusion. But Rashi over here tells us that's the conclusion. Nesher is the binyanav. The ma nesher miyuchad the ain lo echad mikol asnimanim halalu the tamei. Just like nesher has none of the simani tahara and therefore it's tamei. Av kol she ain lo echad mikol asnimanim halalu min nesher hu. Rashi writes very clearly that any bird that exhibits no simani tahara is basically a nesher. The tummy, and therefore it's going to be tummy. Ava ofshi yishbo echa mikol elu tahor. But a bird that has any one of the simani tahara, any one of them is going to be kosher. The kosher kain shnayim or shlosha okulam. Now, certainly, if it has two, if it has three, or if it has four, obviously it's going to be kosher. Chutz me ofos hamufurashim beparsha, except for the 23, there are 24, but obviously Nesher now is, right, is the binyan av, except for the 23 mentioned in the Torah. Wait. Shigzeiros akasav hu, where it is gzeiros akasav, she'af apishyesh mem siman tahara, meaning, if we follow the rule is, it would be kosher, because anything with one, two, three, or certainly four, siman tahara is going to be kosher. Kedamar lakaman, tamein v'hai af lo marbi ela min nesher, de'ein of tamei ba'olam ela chav dalet ha'amurin kan. The only non-kosher birds are 24. And that's it. Rashi says that's a cap. We cap it at 24. So when you find a bird that has no simani tahara, what now will you say? It's a nesher. Okay, good. Beautiful. Okay? This statement of Rashi that there are only 24 non-kosher birds and any bird that has no simani tahara is a nesher, please know that that's a little bit controversial. Tosos does not agree with Rashi in his way that he views and in his categorization. Okay, but in the meantime, however, just a simple pshat of the Gemara presented via Rashi is that there are 24 types. If you find a bird with no simani tahara, it's min nesher.
Is there a bird that has one of its signs and it's not one of the 24?
So that means now, again, we know nowadays in our year 5,771, 2011, we know very little, because there are 24 mentioned. As I told you, when you look at the English translation, because you're curious to know, well, which words am I not allowed to eat? So in the English translation, what that is what you shall not eat from among them: the nesher, the peres, the asnia. I'm reading English now. The ra'ah, the ayah, and the daya, according to its kind. Every orev according to its kind, we don't know. I mean, obviously. I mean, that's the right. I didn't know that this was English. The basa ayana, the tachmos, the shachaf. Okay, good. The point is, we don't know. In a theoretical world, if we knew exactly what these 24 were, so that means any other bird would be kosher. And then what the chachamim provided for us are simanim. Now, instead of knowing the species of birds, all you have to do is look for a type. If you have a bird that has any one of these types, and this is important, you also have to know it's not one of these birds mentioned over here, you're fine. I'll tell you what, by the way, think of it this way, okay? Just, you know, if you're really comfortable with this information, think of it this way. All you need is for the bird to have one siman tahara, wait, and it cannot be a peres va'aznia. Right? If you knew that, then it would be kosher.
Since we don't know which birds they are, how do you know, like, for example, dog or goose are not one of those?
Okay, so generally speaking, what we do nowadays is that we work strictly with tradition. We work strictly with tradition because we don't know, so our default is always going to be, well, if our grandparents ate it and our great-grandparents ate it, so then we can eat it as well. But that's how we operate. We operate with tradition because we don't know. Because the English here doesn't give us any help. And it's not a fault of Art Scroll, by the way. It's a fault of us, meaning we don't know. So,
what's the controversy with turkey?
The controversy with turkey is very simple. It's very simple. It's an American bird.
It's not in Europe.
No.
It is now.
It was imported.
Right. So
So, how do you not eat it then?
Correct. Welcome to the controversy. Right. Okay, let's finish the daf today. Okay, after the daf, we'll discuss it more, but I don't have much more to say about it. Okay, it's... If it has an OU, it's good. Okay, that's not a controversy. Most people do. There are some people who don't. There are some people, but yeah, right. It's a minority, a real minority. Okay, let's finish up. Sorry. So, Ella Nesha Dalef Le Klau.
Is there four signs that is included in this 24? Or you don't know?
A bird?
A bird with four signs. A bird, that have four signs.
Right.
That's in this category.
No. No. If a bird has all four signs.
That's why turkey is kosher, because he has all four signs.
Okay. Again, it could be the turkey, I'll send you to a good place to read up on the turkey and the controversy. Rabbi Zivotofsky, I don't know if you know him or not. Eretz Yisrael, brilliant guy. He wrote up on this. Okay. So right back to the Gemara Samech Aleph Amud Beis. About 10 lines from the top. The Ella time to cut Rachman and Asher halav hachi have amina leilif mi peres vaznia. So the Gemara says, let's now think about this. What we were prepared to do, which is create a binyanav. Now the binyanav comes from Nesher, right? That's the conclusion. Okay, I mean you could really walk out of the room right now. Don't stay. Give me 10 more minutes. I'll finish the daf. But you could walk out of the room right now. Nesher is the binyanav. But what we were prepared to do just a couple of moments ago is try to create a binyanav from peres vaznia, meaning they only have one siman tahor. And the Torah says, don't eat it, so anything that only has one, you shouldn't eat. That's what we were about to do. Peres Vaznia, those are two birds. That falls under the category of Shnei Ksuvim Haban Ke'echad. And we know, Shnei Ksuvim Haban Ke'echad Ein Malamdin. So the Gemara now...
There is a day that says that you can be Malamdin.
That's absolutely correct. That's accurate. But that is the...
But we don't...
Yeah, that's, we don't... No, in this daf, we're not acknowledging it. But acknowledged, though. And correct. So the Gemara says, "Hava mina leilav mi peres vaznia, hava le peres vaznia, shnei ksuvim abayim keecha, v'shnei ksuvim abayim keecha neim alamdim." So the Gemara says, "Gemiri." The Gemara says, "But here it's not true. It's not shnei ksuvim. Why? Because we have a tradition, which is the ika bahai leka bahai, the ika bahai leka bahai. That peres vaznia do not share the same siman tahor. Each one has one, but they're different. Each one is exhibiting a different type. Now the Gemara will be very cloaked." And very concealed, the Gemara will not mention which one has which. Okay? Stay tuned tomorrow. I think we may identify tomorrow. Rashi. Rashi Tosfos. Okay, I will not put that on tape. Even though I think Rashi says it straight out. Tomorrow's not. Michti. Okay, the Gemara now says like this. Let's see. Esim v'arba ofos tameim havu. There are 24 in total, right? E efsha decha de ika bahanach leka bahani. Vahavalu shneksuvim abayim ke'echad. So the Gemara says there's got to be some crossover. There's got to be overlap. Meaning that there are only four simani tahara. There are 24 birds. So there's got to be some overlap. So, right? Isn't it shneksuvim abayim ke'echad? So the Gemara says, we're going to work with another tradition, which is like this. Esrim va'arba ofos tameim havu. Okay, there are 24 non-kosher birds. Va'arba simanim, and there are four signs that would make a bird kosher. Okay, tlasa hadre bechulo, esrim mehem. Okay, of those 24, 20 have three simani tahara, the same three simani tahara. Esrim mehem, shlosha. Utrei ba'orev, two simani tahara by the raven, v'chad be'peres v'chad be'azniyah. De'isa baha, le'isa baha. And when it comes to the Paris Vaznia, each one of them only has one. And again, those do not overlap. Mahu de tema, leilaf mine. So the Gemara says, okay, good. And so now basically it was instructional in that in the tradition that we have, 20 of the 24 have three, the same three. The raven has two. Paris Vaznia has one, but in the Paris Vaznia, they don't overlap one over the other.
What's the one that they did?
Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. So, Kasav Rachmana, let's just finish. Ma'ud Tema, Leil of Mine, Kasav Rachmana Nesher. So, now that we know all that, we could have created a binyanav. We could have created a precedent. Because if it had there been overlap, so then your point would have been very well taken. Then it would have been Shnei Ksuvim Vabayim Ke'echad. But the truth be told is that in the world of Peres Va'aznia, one of them has a unique siman tahara, one that is not found in any of the other of the birds. Okay? Because of the 24, 20 have three, which are all the same. Well, the raven has two of the three. And Peres Vaznia, one has one, the other has the other, but of those two, I know we speak in very cloaked terms over here because we're not identifying which one, but it doesn't matter. Just in terms of categorizing, of the Peres Vaznia, one of them has a siman tahara that is not shared by any of the other birds. It's not Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad. We could have created a binyanav. And all this brings us to the last point of today's daf, which is Nesher. That's why the Torah writes Nesher. Because Nesher has zero, Nesher Delefle Klalhu Delotechel, which now means that it's the Nesher which is the binyanav. It has no siman tahara. That's the one that you're not allowed to eat. Any other bird which has no simanei tahara, you're not allowed to eat as well. Again, according to Rashi, which I quoted from the beginning of today's daf, it means that it's a nesher. It's a sign that it's a nesher. Good. It's that which you're not allowed to eat. Ha'ika deleis le'echad echol. Okay, so that means now that if it has one simanei tahara, so you're allowed to eat it. Unless, obviously, it's one of the birds mentioned in the Torah. If it's one of the birds mentioned in the Torah, so that you're not allowed to eat, but that's a yod simanei klal. That's an exception to the rule. The rule is the Nesher creates the binyanav. That creates the precedent. Okay, finally, last question of the day. Last question of the daf. Elaton dekasar rachman alamali. Okay, so all this is true. So let's go back now to the beginning of today's daf. Remember we had said that there basically are two extremes. On one end of the extreme you have the Nesher, the vulture, which has no simani tahara. On the other extreme you have the tour. And the tour has all four simani tahara. So we suggested at the beginning of this morning, let the tour be the baseline. Meaning in order for a bird to be kosher, it has to have all four simani tahara. And meanwhile, we scaled it all the way back to the nesher, which has zero. Anything above zero is a kosher bird, with the exception of the 23 mentioned in the Torah. But why did this become the baseline? Why doesn't the tour become the baseline? And the Gemara answers very simply, so Tarn Dekas Rachman Alamali, and the answer is because the tour is acceptable as a carbon. Meaning, no, three's enough. Two's enough. One's enough. The only reason the tour goes out of its way to mention tour is just simply because tour is fit for a carbon. Right? Tour and Ben Yona. But no other bird is acceptable for a carbon. Other birds may be acceptable to eat, just simply not acceptable for a carbon. Look, it's precedented. It's not crazy. We have in the world of animals, right? We have behema chaya. Behema you're allowed to eat, chaya you're allowed to eat. Behema can be brought as a carbon, chaya can't be brought as a carbon. Okay, there's in other words, the mizbeach is more discerning. The same thing's true in the world of birds. The mizbeach is more discerning, right? There are most of the birds in the world you're allowed to eat, with exception to the 24 mentioned in the Torah, right? But for the Mizbeach is going to be even more discerning. Even though most of the birds were allowed to eat, there's only two birds that you're allowed to bring. Okay? That's only, the only reason why the Torah goes through the Torah. And of course, Ben Yonah. Okay, we'll pause over here. This is the end of the daf. Tomorrow, we continue along this line. Okay? More bird talk. Right? Tomorrow, we're comparing the two Parshios. I know it's coming up, right? Anyway, point being that tomorrow in Shul, pay careful attention to the laning. Okay. Oh no, it's Samach Gimel. Okay. Samach Gimel. We're going to compare Parshios. Okay. So because you could do this at home. Go to the list of the 24 birds mentioned in this week's Parsha. Go back to Parsha Shmini. Look at the 24 over there, and you will see there's a little bit of discrepancy between what the 24 are actually called. Okay, that comes up on Samach Gimel. Okay, almost there.